it's a life in a work of art, which is short, even shorter than man's lifetime. I call it 20 years. After 20 years, an impressionist painting has ceased to be an impressionist painting because the material, the color, the paint has darkened so much. That's no more what the man did when he painted it. All right. That's one way of looking at it. So I apply this rule to all artworks. And they, after 20 years, are finished. Their life is over. They survive, all right, because they are curators of art history. And art history is not art. I don't believe in preserving. I think, as I said, the work of art dies. It's a thing of contemporary life. In other words, in your life, you might see things. It's because it's contemporary with your life. It's been made at the same time as you were alive. And it has all the requisites of a definition of work of art, which is to make. And your contemporaries are making works of art. They are works of art at the time you live. But once you are dead, they die too.
I learn that you were interested in the writings of Roussel. You were probably interested in the writings of Rabelais.
Yes.
You can accept the perpetuation of ideas through a text, but you are less inclined to accept it through a painting.
The reason is that ideas can survive more without distortion, without... Death is longer for ideas because the language stays on for at least a few centuries in the case of Rabelais, but I'm sure we don't understand a word of Aristophanes or Homer even. Our interpretation of Homer is very, very 20th century. You see what I mean? The distortion that every 50 years a new generation gives to the old works of art and the new ones too is not justifiable. In other words, 50 years ago we liked this, 100 years ago we liked that, showing the doubtful judgment of humanity on works of art. And that's why I like it to be only 20 years or have a short life.
It is sometimes said of you that when you received notice of the fact that your large glass, a work on which you had spent an enormous amount of time and energy and thought over a period of 12 years, was smashed, that you responded in a very indifferent way to this, that you didn't care.
I didn't care. Yes, I learned it in Lille. I was lunching with a friend of mine who had it, and Miss Dryer, and she couldn't announce it to me. It was very funny. So, in fact, when she was so much moved by the fact that she had to announce it to me, my reaction was a cold reaction to help her, you see, of charity, instead of despair. And it was exactly like that. It was not despair at all. I have a very great form of philosophy of that kind, to accept any malheur as it comes. I mean, I'm not going to fight it too much. I don't fight back.
I wanted to know how you react to the title that's been given to this series, Art Anti-Art. What is the concept anti-art for you?
I'm against the word anti because it's a bit like atheist as compared to believer. And an atheist is just as much of a religious man as the believer is. And an anti-artist is just as much of an artist as the other artist. An artist would be much better if I could change it, instead of anti-artist, an artist, meaning no artist at all. That would be my conception. I don't mind being an artist.
The one strain which has run throughout your life as an artist or a artist is the idea of duality. There's always been, on the one hand, work which is very meticulous, painstaking, evolved through the most elaborate systematization, both technically and intellectually, and on the other hand, works which appear to be thrown off so casually, and work which you've actually produced no physical effort yourself on. Can you say something about this balance between...
The ready-made?
The ready-made
and the glass.
And the glass and the other works, which are very painterly in their execution.
Yes, the ready-mades, of course. It was a deliberate activity by which I forgot all about my meticulosity. It was, again, a form of freeing myself from any form of program. Suppose I started the glass, and then I would go on making the glass and making very meticulous technique and so forth. But probably one day I woke up and said, why should I be so meticulous? I'm contradicting myself again, see? And I did by thinking of the ready-made. I suppose that was the psychology of it. I don't know how it came about, but I imagine it so now. Do you think it might explain it?
Yes, there seems to be a great fear in yourself of pomposity.
Yeah.
And this introduction of a technique, which is so casual, it does seem to free you from any engagement with yourself almost.
Correct. Yes, that's very important for me, not to be engaged in any groove. I want to be free, and I want to be free from myself almost.
Yes, I think that is your unique contribution, a desire to dissociate your ideas even from yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But the ready-mades, which seem so casual, still retain an aura of precision. The limiting of their number, the choosing of an occasion when you will make a ready-made, a destination with a ready-made.
Yes. I introduced again very elaborate decisions about details, even in the ready-made. The fact that it was not made with my hands didn't stop me from finding other ways of applying my meticulous technique on to them, you see. But I suppose, in spite of myself, I'm a meticulous man.
Well, I'm interested in examining positives and negatives in society.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm interested in, what you're doing, examining life and death.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm interested in the rituals that, you know, are so necessary.
In my work, life and death is very, very important. And for me, that what I do is, kind of philosophy.
Yes.
I want to show life and death.
Yes.
And I want to show that it is the same.
It's the same.
Because
yes.
I have a feeling for the whole.
Yes.
For the whole cosmos.
Yes.
And I'm very near to the philosophers before Socrates, Heraclitus, Parmenides, Empedocles. They had also feeling that the dead and life is the same. That's one development. And it's also great development. My English is not very well.
But it's part of the universal whole.
It's part of the universal whole. And only the human feeling, see, that's dead,
yes.
And that's life,
yes.
And that's illness, and that's health. But don't misunderstand me, I don't glorificate
statistic violence.
But it's a part of our life, of our society.
Yes.
When you look at the television, you can count every day 10 people are killed, more
yes.
than
yes.
10 people.
And it's just touched up, sort of, in maybe one line of the paper. Now, in the progression of your work, how do you draw the line between animals and human beings? I mean, for your sacrifice, for instance.
Well,
I mean,
for me, that's the same. There's
yeah.
no, there's no difference. Maybe I do it like old religions. Maybe the animal is a symbol for the human body and for a human being. Yeah? And also, you must know, I use always animals which society kill. I never kill an animal. Yeah?
I see. But you don't really slaughter the animal yourself.
No.
You get it from the slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
Normally I get it from the slaughterhouse, but in Prinzendorf I want to, that in my play is slaughtering included, but
yeah.
they slaughter a bull, which sie, also welches sie auf jeden Fall schlachten wird.
Which had to be slaughtered in this time.
Yes, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. That people
see
the problem of that, it's a real problem of that, because we eat meat, and nobody wants to see how to kill an animal. We like to kill, we like very much to kill, but it don't come up in our consciousness. And so I try with my work to show the trueness. And to bring our let's say, a tragic situation in our consciousness. We have to kill, it's necessary. We have to kill that we are alive. It's a thing. And a development, it's also important. I don't mean a development to an end. Development is for me only changing in time. You understand? That's very important. Also, I was always very influenced by Nietzsche. I like his philosophy very, very much. I don't know how to translate it in English, the ewige Wiederkunft des Gleichen. It's not a good translation, but...
come back of what's the same.
And it's a funny thing. I always study Eastern philosophy and many things. For the first time, it looks not true. But many things what Nietzsche says are very similar to Rousseau's song. What is the meaning of Eastern philosophy? And the feeling of the Ewigkeit, wasn't it?
Eternity.
The feeling of eternity. For me, it's also very important to come away from mythology to have an abstract feeling from the world, a real philosophy, philosophical.
Yes.
No, philosophisch.
Philosophical
feeling of the world. But I am a part of the whole, and if I'm very intensive, I'm very near to the middle point of the world, and I think everybody of us is the middle point of the world, and he can be. It's only a question of power to feel it, to make free for this feeling. I would say, I understand it, I would say... nature. No, but I want to explain it in another way. I would say nature has plenty of material. It's nature waste material. You can see it if man and wife comes together. Only we have the chromosomes. The chromosomes. So many are wasted, and only one. Becomes a man.
Yeah.
Yeah? And I think that's a way of nature, to produce and to produce many, many, many possibilities of life. And only some feel them real self and feel the whole self. And so I think, nature create with animals, with plants, and with human beings, organs. Is this organic?
Okay,
organs to feel itself. You understand what I mean?
Yes, I do.
And so, though I understand this myth of karma, and this myth is right, but for me it's not necessary. Everything comes again. And it's true, if somebody has a bad karma, he wasted the chance of world. And world has to create new. That's the same, I see it, very similar as Eastern philosophers. But I explain it in another way. I think in a more abstract way.
Did you begin as a painter?
Well, I began as a painter and as a poet at the same time.
As a poet also.
I had an idea from my theater. It was near 1957.
Yeah.
And there I, well, I wrote with normal, not ich schrieb. I wrote with normal words. And then I did it with actions. And it was, I was, my development was coming to a point where I couldn't say anything with words. The language was finished for me. And then I started that people have to feel real, was a theme-centric.
Essential impressions.
Essential impressions. And they have, they had to smell, to taste, and to touch, and to look at very intensive, to look at very intensive
things which happened.
Yes.
And that was the beginning of my theater.
Their environment. When? What year was that? When did you make?
Well, I started to write. Let's say 56, and my first partitures of actions was near 50. And in the early 60s I performed in Austria, and it was very, very difficult. I was 3 times in prison in Austria. Because nonsense, because the blaming religion in my work. And
Rodney Mack is always a so-called artist.
Now it's history, but
yes.
I cannot forget what they have done again.
In Vienna they are very, very good.
So in your theater, the OM theater, is this a farm? It's a farmhouse.
It's a little castle.
A little castle, yeah.
With a large ground around it.
Yeah.
And here I'm, well, it's like an ex-territorial...
But it's in it's not in Austria.
It's in Austria, but it has nothing to do with Austria because it's my own. I'm the owner of it.
I see. Oh yes.
And
so
I invite
like
all
land,
people, and I can do on my ground what I want.
Yeah.
And I don't invite the Austrian press. I've not informed the Austrian press. It will come. It will come press as I hope from the whole world. But not so often.
Yeah.
For me, my work is is a new form of religion, but has nothing to do with traditional religions. For me, it's anyway. I always thought and thinking that art is religion. And for me it's it's a ritual to learn to enjoy the world. And I always had and have a very deep feeling for nature. I like nature very much. I live always in the country. I cannot live a long time in towns. It makes me very sick. And my relationships are from Prinzendorf, from this area. And they are all wine farmers. It's richtig wine farmers. And in Prinzendorf for me is a beautiful landscape. Little hills mostly cornfields, cornfields and vineyards. And this country is really Dionysian era. It's beautiful climate, it's like Italy, and when I visit my relationships, mm-hmm. I was always invited in the wine cellar, and I always had the feeling when I do my theater and when I try to realize it, then I will do it in principle. And there was this castle, and this castle was leer.
It
was empty. And then 4 years ago, my wife got some money as an
inheritance.
And we wanted to buy a little house in Germany. And it was so expensive, it was impossible, because in Germany everything is very, very expensive. And then we tried to buy a little house in Austria, in Prinzendorf. And I asked my my uncle if he know a possibility to buy a cheap house. And he said, well, buy the castle. And we was laughing, and then my wife looked for the possibilities, and it was really possible. We had only to pay the ground, and the owner of the castle was a Catholic church. And listen, we signed the contract, and we paid the money. We had to pay it. On the table, the cash, we had to cash it,
yeah. Cash on
that. And that was our luck, because after them, they found it out that I am Nietzsche, and we want to cancel the whole thing, but it was impossible. From this time I'm working to make at this place a performance, and I do the first performance at this
feast.
This feast, yeah. It's the greatest action I will ever have. And it's connected actions and feast, and I want to show every station of life. Mostly, if I show little actions, the problem of tragedy and the problem of death is more important.
Yeah.
But in my large work, or in my big work, both is important. To enjoy life and to see that.
Yeah.
And I forgot a very important part of my development. I told at the beginning deep psychology was very important for my work. And so I have to explain the situation of man in our civilization. I think we all have from nature power, and our civilization repress our power, and we want life, but it's not we want to enjoy life, but it's not possible, because everything is normed, and we have not enough freedom in our civilization, and so also power is repressed. And that's the reason why people like cruelty, because they have no normal way to enjoy life. So it comes out if there's a catastrophe, mm-hmm. if somebody is killed, if there's an accident on the street, it comes out. It's only power. It's I would say it's nothing to do with morality. It's jenseits von gut und böse.
Beyond good or bad.
Beyond
good or bad.
No, come on.
Beyond
good or bad. The power comes out. When I show this cruelty, for me it's a question of power. We need it in our society. We need it. And then I spoke from upreaction place. And I created the theory of upreaction, a much very early, it was 63, long before Janov with his screaming theory, what I not like very much. I like the possibility of screaming, but not not this old-fashioned theory.
Yeah.
And at this upreaction place, I want that people bring out their repressed repressed power with gravity, and that it comes in the consciousness. And that's always a very important part for my work. You understand what I mean?
And
that it can come out during my game, and I'm against war. That's no question. In my work and how I shall say in my game, also repressed energies can come out, but it's nobody's heard it. That's an important aspect from my work.
So, how many people will be at the feast?
I don't know. I think between 150 and 200. Not too much, because they're all invited and it's no public thing.
Are they artists?
And,
poets.
Artists and poets, most artists and most good people, sophisticated people. But really from the whole world. And then I have near 50 workers who are working with me. So let's say maybe we have 300 people, but I cannot say it exactly.
And who fixes the food?
I have a very good friend and it's a filmmaker, Peter Kubelka. Do you know him? He's very well known in the United States. He's a very good friend of Jonas Makers. And Jonas Makers protect him.
Oh, yes, Jonas Makers.
And this man is a wonderful cooker. And for him, it's cooking art. And he will cook. All these 24 hours. And he will always bring food between the actions.
So at last, from when on the 26th of July, from the morning of the 26th of July?
It starts at 5:30 in the morning.
No.
I think 4:30. When there's sun rising and the whole place going on till sun rising from the next day, 24 hours. And
so,
a lot of actions are in subterranean area, because in the cellars of the castle. When I speak about my work, I say I want to tell the history of our soul with my work.
What was that? History with
The history of our soul.
Our soul. Yeah. Well, are you going to do any animal performances?
Sure. Lot. I use one bull and 11 sheep.
One goat and 11 sheep.
One bull. And 11 sheep.
One bull?
Bull.
A male.
And a lot of them we eat during the feast.
And 11 sheep.
And 11 sheep. And there's no waste of material, but as the meat we cannot eat, we save it in
the deep freezer.
Deep freezer, right.